I was wondering if all of you would indulge me on something. Would you come up closer to maybe where Donna and Mike are? And I'll tell you the reason for that in just a little bit. But
you don't want to shout to the back.
For those of you who are expecting something, I hope you're not going to be disappointed. I am not a public speaker, and I am not, you know, I don't have any big revelation to give us tonight, but when they announced Pastor Jeff's sabbatical on Sunday, I thought, well, Lana, here you sit and you do nothing. You can do something. And so I told Rob, I said, I'll do one of the devotions for Wednesday night for Deep End. He said, okay, how about this Wednesday? I said, okay. So here we are. And as we know, we're here for prayer. And for some time, I have been doing YouVerse devotions, and it was not coincidental, but timely that the man who offers YouVersion was bringing the message to us on Sunday. I thought that was so cool. And so some time ago, I was doing my devotion, and I was doing one by James MacDonald called Authentic Prayer. And, you know, I feel like our most valuable resource, but for many unutilized, is prayer. And I'd like to share with you what James MacDonald wrote in one of my devotions here, if you will bear with me. The average person speaks 34,000 words a day. Now, I'm sure some people speak a lot more than that. Some people speak a lot less, but the average person. That says you talk a half a book a day. A half a book a day. Oh, my goodness. If we're all talking a half a book a day, is there even a page of dialogue with God? When was the last time you gave half a chapter in a single day to the God who says, call to me? Notice the word call. That's an invitation to intensity. God invites us not to whimper to him. God is not, say something to me. How do you want us to talk to you, God? I want you to call. That's an expression of urgency, intensity, and fervency. It's an invitation to shameless and loud intimacy. God says, call to me. The implication of God's invitation is that it allows us to call anytime and all the time. The situation in which Jeremiah found himself when this invitation was issued holds a significant lesson for us. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was shut up in the court of the guard. That's a way of saying he was under guard or he was in prison. In one way or another, he was restricted. Based on parallel experiences, we can say that sometimes we find ourselves in some kind of a prison. Can we identify with being shut up in the court of the guard? We listen in as God says, hey, Jeremiah, how's it going for you today? And Jeremiah says, not great. Things are not looking up. What do you want me to do now? Call to me, son. Call to me. Can you hear God extending that same invitation to you? Call to me, my child. I woke up very early this morning, which is not my typical pattern because I'm not working right now. And I sleep in till maybe sometimes about 8 o'clock. And so at 6:15, the Lord woke me up and laid this on my heart, even though I had another direction I was going to go. And so I have found that it's always better to obey God. So here we are. And I thought, wonder how many times prayer is mentioned in the Bible? And so I looked it up. There's this little app you can look up if you Google it that says how many times a particular word is mentioned in the Bible, and it appears 313 times. So having said that, I'd say it's pretty important. And so I looked up some verses on prayer that meant a lot to me, and I wanted to share them with you and hope they will mean something to you as well. Some of these that I'm going to read are the King James Version, and some are the New Living Translation, which I find speaks to me more clearly. Psalm 102:17 says, "He will listen to the prayers of the destitute. He will not reject their pleas." Romans 12:12, and if you want to jot some of these down, you can. If I go too fast, just ask me and I'll. Romans 12:12, "Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying." Psalm 61:1, "O God, listen to my cry, hear my prayer." And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." That's the King James, and the New Living Translation says, "Never stop praying." James 5:13, the first part of that, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray." Mark 13:33, "Take heed, watch and pray." Luke 22:46, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation." 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is one that has been recited so many times, most of you know it by heart. "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land." And usually people stop right there. But the next part of the verse says, "My eyes will be open and my ears attentive for every prayer made in this place." James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Psalm 54:2, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Pay attention to my plea." Psalm 66:20, "Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me." Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." And I thought to myself, oh God, I am not righteous. But then he reminded me, I am righteous because of Christ. Christ is what makes us righteous, not ourselves. Matthew 28:22, "And all these things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." 1 Timothy 1:2, "I urge you first of all to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Prayer is the way for kings and all those who are in authority so that we can live a peaceful..." I didn't read that right. "Pray in this way for kings and all those who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth." Psalm 143:1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my plea. Answer me because you are faithful and righteous." Proverbs 15:8, "The Lord detests the sacrifices of the wicked, but he delights in the prayers of the upright." Ephesians 6:8 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." Philippians 4:8 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Just a few more I've got here. A few more thoughts, actually. I loved the video that we had on Sunday about unity. And one of the things that that I took away from it for me personally was about being real. I think he said, you know, let's just be real. Let's be real people. And I thought, you know, that's what we need to do. And I want to be real with you, and I want you to be real with me. And the reason I ask you to move up here is because I am hard of hearing. And I wanted us to share our request tonight, and I wanted to make sure that if they were important enough for you to say them, I wanted to be able to hear them. And I wanted to jot them down so that when we go to our time of prayer, I can hear, I can pray for them because I've heard them. And I wanted to also tell, I wanted to thank Rob and the media and the production team that they make it comfortable for us to come in here and pray. You know, they have it quiet. They have the right worship music. You know, they sometimes make it dark for us so that, you know, there's nothing really that inhibits our praying when we come into this place. And I'm thankful that we have a place like this. I think about all the people that have been hit by recent devastation, and their churches are demolished, you know, and they have no way of probably getting together for home church yet or whatever, but they will rebuild. But I'm so thankful that we have our comfortable church that we can come to and we can pray. And, you know, when you think about all the prayer requests that need to be mentioned, I thought, well, Lord, they're just overwhelming. But I'm just going to start with a few, and then I want you to mention some that you want, and I'm going to write them down so that when I go to prayer, you know, I'll remember them. I want us to pray for our pastor. I want to pray for his restoration, body, mind, soul, spirit, for relaxation, for refreshing, for healing in his body. As he takes this time off, let him just be relaxed and just heal his body, which he needs to do. I want us to pray for unity, as we heard in the Uncommon Fellowship series started Sunday. I was thinking on my way up here, there's so much disunity, is that the word? Where, you know, political unrest and, you know, all the turmoil that's in our country. And it seems like that's kind of taken a back seat because of all this devastation. People are coming together to work for a common thing instead of at each other's throats or whatever. So I'd like for us to pray for all of that that's happening, all the devastation, the natural disasters that have happened in our family, and people who have lost loved ones and people that have lost their homes and lost everything. But, you know, they still have their lives. They still have some of their loved ones, you know. And I saw one person on the TV said, we still hold on to God. You know, so that is a witness in itself right there. I want us to pray for the ministries of our church. Sarah's ministry, is it called Hope Lives? Or what is it?
Hope is risen.
Like the ladies, the WOW meeting, last night we kind of committed to help a new ministry that's coming on. It's called Bridget's Hope, for babies that are born to addicted moms. And you know, we have so many types of ministries here in our church, and that sometimes we overlook them, like the children's ministry and the WOW and the men's fellowship and the First Impressions and the finance and the security teams. You know how important those are, things that people do behind the scenes that we don't even know, the cleaning crew. You know, I thought there's so many people and so many teams that we can pray for, and also want us to pray for the start of new ministries. Whatever God has for our church to grow, and I believe that, you know, we're at that point where we're going to start seeing this growth. And so new ministries are going to rise up, and I want us to pray for that. And for all the new people that have come to our church, like Donna and Mike, I'm so thankful for them. And even for those who have left, pray for them. Whatever reason they left or, you know, they're gone, pray for them anyway. It says love our enemies, and some of the people that have left are not our enemies, they just left. So on a more personal note, I like you to pray for me for my healing. Some of you know, some of you don't know, I have RA. It gives me a lot of problems from day to day. And so I want healing, number one. If I can't have healing that way, then I want the doctor to figure out what the right medication is for me so that I'm not in pain. And I really need prayer about my job situation. I'm on a disability right now, but I found out yesterday that my boss expects me to come back at the end of the year. And I just don't know if that's the right thing for me, and I want to do God's will. I don't want to do what's just financially better for me or for my job, you know, for the people that I work with or whatever. I want to do what God wants me to do. And I want you to pray for my family. With the recent drug epidemic, I have a nephew. Well, let me back up just a little bit. Most of you know that I lost my sister in January, and she was only 57 years old. And she had two boys, and both of them have dabbled in drugs their whole life. And one now is incarcerated. And his son, which is my great-nephew, has gone to my mom. And we don't know how, and I need to get with you, Sarah, so I can get some help. But we don't know how to deal with a child, a 9-year-old child that has always just lived with his dad, and there's been horrific things in their family. And my mom has always been a really strong Christian, and she tells my little nephew, God will take care of us. God will take care of us. And she prays with him every night. And he said to her yesterday, he said, Mama, do you think my daddy will be out of jail by Thanksgiving or something, I think. And Mom said, I don't know, Zayden. I just don't know. But he said, well, God knows, doesn't he? And Mom said, yes, he does. And he will, you know, provide what we need. If your dad gets to come home, great. If he doesn't, then we'll somehow make it. So I would like for you to pray for my mom and my little nephew. You know, it's hard to be raising a 9-year-old when you're 79 years old. And, you know, there's nobody else to take him. So what kind of prayer request do you have tonight that you would like to share?
I told you this was going to be short and sweet. I want you to, if we're all good, are we all good? Everybody good? Okay. Another thing that kept going through my mind all day today was that God is not concerned about the posture of your prayer. I remember whenever I was first, before I was actually diagnosed, and I told Tom that he or somebody was poisoning me because I didn't know what else was going on. You know, I said, it feels like somebody's poisoning my body. I just have all these weird things happening and I don't know what's causing them. And I couldn't get out of bed, and I would just lay in the bed and just cry out to God. And now I don't. The reason you don't see me kind of come up to the front and worship or kneel, because if I get down, there'll have to be a crane to get me up because of my joint issues. But, you know, God is not concerned with our posture of prayer. It doesn't matter if you're standing or you're kneeling or you're laying in the floor on your face, on your back, if you're walking around the perimeter of the building. It doesn't matter to God. The thing that matters to God is that we're talking to him. And so, you know, thank you for all coming up so that I can hear you. And then, like, as we go to prayer, and you can disperse to wherever you feel comfortable. Some people like to have someone beside them praying. The church that Tom and I came from, oh my goodness, everybody prayed at the same time. And it was, I mean, that's just how it was. That's how I grew up, so I didn't think anything about it. Then when I came here, people prayed individually, and it was just like, that's kind of weird. But, you know, you adjust, you get used to it and stuff like that. But some people don't like someone right beside them praying, or they don't want to be heard by someone else. So pray out loud, pray silently, pray wherever you want to pray, pray together, pray apart, you know, whatever you feel comfortable doing. I know that you guys already know this, but sometimes it helps us to be reminded, you know, of what we're doing and whatever. So I'm going to say just a quick prayer. It's one of the prayers that John MacDonald ends his devotion with, and then I want us to, you know, go to our individual prayer time, and you pray as long as you want. When you feel like you've reached God, you're finished, you're free to go. You know, there won't be any dismissal or anything like that. So, Father, you know where Jeremiah was and how he was feeling when this was written. You came to him. Thank you for all the times when I've been so consumed and distracted by my circumstances, and you've shown up in some unexpected way and caught my attention. In Jesus' name, amen.